The scripture for today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm not so great at managing my life. When kind of thinking back over this last week, I stand before you now, the senior pastor. But y'all, I was supposed to be a veterinarian. I am no closer to my goal now than when I was in high school. And it's funny how much life changes and how much our goals change and our objectives change. And sometimes it's just opportunities that come by that maybe we hadn't considered before and kind of sweep us away into some grand new adventure. Other times it's life sort of shows up. And sort of these plans of what we were going to be when we grew up, or the plans of what we wanted to do with our kids or our families, or even what we want to do today, it's amazing how quickly those plans and the management of our lives can start to just slip away. I'm constantly surprised by how little I know of what God is actually going to do with my life. And y'all might not be in the same boat as me. Y'all might have your lives put together a lot better than I do. And so some of y'all might not feel like, you really don't know what's going to happen. You might have a great plan, and y'all might be managing your lives extremely well. But I'm sure you still experience the distractions and the burdens that kind of come up, that no matter our plans or our goals or the path that's set in front of us of how we want to manage our lives and how we want to walk, it's amazing how the responsibilities and the distractions, all of a sudden just the stress of keeping all those plates spinning, of making sure we're keeping up with everything that we have to in order to make sure that our life stays on track. It's so easy to feel like no matter how much control we have, that it's so hard to stay on the path. Now, I've got good news that whether you're like me or whether you feel like you've got things put together, but maybe those distractions are kind of starting to build up, the good news is that's a part of discipleship. And that's a part of life as well. In fact, the disciples, they must have had plans for their lives as well. Most of them probably knew exactly what they were expected to be when they grew up. And so you imagine that when Jesus called some of those first disciples, when he walked along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he found them mending their nets, he found them kind of drying their lines and patching up their boats, that most of them knew that in this moment, fishing was what I was going to do today, tomorrow, the years later. In fact, probably all my children after me might have something to do with fishing as well, and the plans and the goals that they must have had for their lives. And yet, when Jesus simply asked them to come and follow me, how quickly all of their plans and the management of their lives must have just gone out the window. to come out of maybe some deep well of faith or even just out of curiosity to follow after Jesus and to come see about this kingdom of God. Now, you have to imagine that I love reading these first stories in the Gospels, that when we imagine the disciples kind of first starting on this faith journey of following after Jesus, how excited they are and how amazed and how thrilled they are with some of these first miracles that they've ever really imagined. All of a sudden, they're seeing people cured of lifelong illnesses. They're seeing demons being cast out. They're seeing lives being changed. And the excitement that comes with witnessing firsthand, with feeling the very presence of God and seeing the kingdom of God coming into the world. That excitement of what it looks like to experience that for those first times. In fact, right before the chapter that we read today in Luke chapter 9, we get to hear some of these miracles that the disciples got to witness. In fact, they actually get called by Jesus at the beginning of the chapter to go out, just the 12 of them, and perform some of these miracles that they've seen. So all of a sudden, all the plans that they had for their lives, who knows what happened to them, but now they're doing healings, they're casting out demons. They are doing incredible work that they never even thought possible. They get to witness the feeding of over 5,000 people, not even counting women and children. A few of them get to go up on the mountaintop, and they get to see with their own eyes Jesus transfigured and transformed in front of them. And you kind of get the sense of Peter when he declares beyond a shadow of a doubt that no matter who anybody else says that you are, Jesus, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, sent for us. The disciples seem to have discipleship all figured out. They seem to kind of jumped into a new plan of kind of following after Jesus. But you also get a sense that maybe they are a lot more like us, and maybe we're a lot more like them than we sometimes give credit. Because if we've experienced these large movements of our faith, we've experienced this move of God that has amazed us and has astounded us for what God has done in our lives, it's amazing that as we follow after Jesus, in those first steps, man, we ask Jesus, what is it that you would have me to do? Where is it that you would have me to go? How quickly it is in that discipleship process that we started to try to sneak control in the management of our lives back just a little bit. Jesus, where would you have me to go? Are you sure I'm supposed to go over there? What would you have me to do? Are you sure that's what I'm supposed to do? And then we start making suggestions. Maybe, Jesus, if we do it this way, maybe if it fits into the schedule more, it's a little bit more convenient, it's a little bit more affordable. And even in the disciples, we start to see that of these major proclamations of faith that they've made in just a couple paragraphs, how quickly they too try to ease back that control. Try to ease back that management of their lives so that they're making more of the decisions. In fact, the disciples, they feel like they've got this discipleship thing so figured out that they start arguing over who is the best disciple amongst them. Who's going to be the greatest disciple in the kingdom of God? You can just imagine Jesus must have said, guys, I think we have lost the mark. And even the questions of the disciples that start popping up, they move into a Samaritan town that doesn't accept the message that they're trying to give. And here the disciples say, Jesus, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to take this city out? And Jesus is like, guys, I think we have lost it. And you even look at the questions that some of those wishing to come follow Jesus begin reflecting. What's the true cost? Can I do this on my timeline? All of a sudden, that control that we need to have so much in our lives starts creeping back. And this Jesus that we were meant to follow, all of a sudden we have taken the wheel back and we've said, Jesus, I've got this. You just come along for the ride. We're so tempted in our faith to take back that management, to take back control. We're so worried of what's out there, of making sure that our plans are working so closely that we're so afraid of what happens when we lose control. But look at what we read today in Luke chapter 10. Jesus says, I think it's time we go back to the beginning. Where all the worries and all the frustrations and all the concerns of the management of how this is going to go, I tell you what, I will take care of that. You're under new management now, Jesus says. And he takes 70 of them and he sends them out two by two. And he gives them the simplest instructions that he possibly can. And he says, you're to go and to announce that the kingdom of God is near. That's it. And of everything that you're worried about this trip, of everything that you're trying to figure out and manage and kind of keep control of, how much money you think you need, how many extra pair of sandals you're going to need, how many clothes you're going to need, I'll tell you what, don't take any of that. Take everything that you've worried about, everything that you need to take control of, and just let me manage that. Put that off to the side. Simply go out together. Create relationships. Build community. Address the hurts that are in the communities that you find yourselves, and declare that the kingdom of God is near. How often we try to take back control from Jesus. We're insistent that maybe we can turn our lives around or maybe we can turn situations around if we simply work harder, if we keep pushing harder. We feel like we can turn our church around if simply we come up with brighter ideas and more brilliant strategies that will suddenly create a situation that will just change the circumstances. When Jesus says, why don't you let me manage that for you? As disciples, what I want you to do is to follow me. And to follow me right now looks like going out together into this community and into this world and build relationships. Get to know people. Find out the hurts that are surrounding and the hurts and pains that people are walking through and begin to heal them. Begin to feed them and to simply announce that the kingdom of God is near. The work of a disciple is indeed a work of management because it's giving control over the management of our lives, of our churches, of our ministries back over to God and saying, God, simply allow us to go and to tell your story. I have such hopes for what I want this church to be able to accomplish. I have hopes for what I hope for God to accomplish through me. But the truth of the matter is, if what God is going to do here in Alabaster, Alabama, has nothing to do with the preachers. It has to do with all of us turning over control, turning over management of our church and our lives to the one who has simply asked us to come and to follow after him. For us to look with God's eyes on the community that's around us and to see that there's needs and there's hurts that we can move into, and we begin healing others as God has commanded us to do, and just simply declare that the kingdom of God is near. Now, Jesus says that this sounds so simple, but we will struggle and we will attempt to take back control and we'll attempt to pull back a little bit of that management, insist that to Jesus that we need something to hold on to. He says, I know this will be difficult. You'll feel like you're lambs being led into the midst of wolves. But listen to me. The story does not change. One of two things will happen when you go out into the world. They will either love you and accept you, or they won't. But the story stays the same. simply declare that the kingdom of God has come near. It's a story of management. It's a story of faith. It's a story of who we are as disciples, called to be in this community and the world, those who declare hope and of life, and we go forth and we do it together. Will you pray with me this morning? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for your life and your hope. Because, Lord, for as much as we insist that we can come up with the next bright idea, or we can just work a little bit harder and we can turn around impossible situations, the truth is you have not asked us to manage those situations. You have simply asked us to come to follow you. And so, Lord, I ask for your management. I ask for your leadership. I ask for your spirit over our lives and over this church, that we might be called to be your disciples, to help heal this community, to help speak life, to help speak justice, Lord, to walk into spaces and lives and new relationships and be able to declare with truth that your kingdom is near. May that be so in our lives this morning. Amen.